Welcome back to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today, we will hear from America Pray Now leader, Josiah Alway.
I want to bring your attention to a passage of Scripture found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. The Apostle Paul was concluding his letter to the Thessalonians, and he writes these three words, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. One of the earliest memories I have is in my grandmother's home. My grandparents and my parents were missionaries in Guatemala, and so they have a few things in their house that are in Spanish. And my grandmother had on the wall this verse in Spanish, and I was very young, but I could read. And when I read this verse, I thought to myself, that's impossible. How do you pray without ceasing? You have to sleep. You have to eat. You can't always be praying. But as a child, of course, I missed the point. The point of this verse is that we are to be people of prayer. Christians are supposed to have a prayer life consistently. We're to pray when we rise up. We're to pray throughout our day, and we're to pray when we go to bed. We're to be people of prayer. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Great men and women of faith, both in Bible times and now, have accomplished this in what we might call three arenas of prayer. To pray without ceasing, we need to have three places that we pray. In the Bible, we first see personal prayer. Personal prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, that when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Every time that you get out of bed early, earlier than you would normally have to, just to go pray, the Father sees you getting out of your bed. He sees you when you kneel down. He sees you when you're driving down the road in the middle of the day and you just turn to Him in prayer. The Father notices. Jesus had this personal prayer life. We see in the Gospel of Mark that He woke up before the sun had risen. He went and found a secluded place to pray, and the disciples couldn't even find Him. They were looking for Him. We see throughout the Old Testament this personal prayer life in Daniel and David and Abraham. Every great man and woman of faith from the book of Genesis until now has had a personal prayer life. And I know for me it's become increasingly difficult because having little kids in the house, once they're awake in the morning, it's almost impossible to have a good morning prayer life. And my brother is the same. And so we make sure that we're up in the morning before the kids wake up so that we can fulfill this because it is vital. We must have a personal prayer life if we're to grow in our faith. So first, a personal prayer life. And then secondly, a family prayer life, a family prayer life. That's the second arena of prayer or place to pray. In Psalms 118, verse 15, David said, "In the tents of the righteous." Now, we could replace that with in the Christian home. In the Christian home is heard the voice of rejoicing and salvation. Most of you have probably heard of the commentator Matthew Henry. His dad, Philip Henry, wrote about this passage, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, "Imagine going into the camp of Israel when they were out in the wilderness around dinner time, and imagine walking in between the tents. You would have heard in the tents of the righteous three things. You would have heard singing, you would have heard prayer, and you would have heard parents instructing their children in the laws of God." As Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "You shall teach the law diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You would have heard parents gathering their family together around dinner time, and you would have heard singing, prayer, and instruction in the law. There's a wonderful story that I hope will inspire you. It's the story of Captain Rick Husband. He was the captain on board the Space Shuttle Columbia. The Space Shuttle Columbia disintegrated as it re-entered the Earth's atmosphere, and all the astronauts on board died, and Captain Rick Husband was on board. But before leaving Earth into space, he left for his son and daughter a series of videos to be played in the morning and in the evening, videos of him reading a devotional and praying. I'm sure he expected to come back to his family, but he never did. But he left behind an incredible legacy and example, not just for his children, but for generations to come, of the importance of leading your family spiritually, of the importance of morning and evening devotional time. It's vital. Every morning, I followed the example of my parents and godly people for thousands of years, and I gather my family in the living room. We read, we sing, and we kneel down around the coffee table. And because my boys are so young, we ask them the different things that they want to pray for. So we'll go around the table, and almost every day, my two-year-old, he says he wants to pray for our turkey that they named Pat, for Pat not to die. And Pat, the turkey, was supposed to be butchered, but now my wife and I, we don't know what we're going to do, because they've been praying every day for Pat not to die. That's the only negative example of the family devotional life that I've ever come across. Other than that, it's been an incredible blessing in our home. So first of all, we have the personal prayer life. Secondly, the family prayer life. And then thirdly and lastly, the corporate prayer life. This is the third arena of prayer, if you will. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, says that the early Christians gathered constantly. A lot of translations have that word, constantly, in prayer. Early believers were regularly getting together to eat and to pray. Corporate prayer was a normal part of the New Testament church. It was also a part of the Old Testament. We see in the dedication of the temple, Solomon gathers the people of Israel together at the dedication of the temple. King Solomon kneels down before the King of Kings. Now, kings in Bible times didn't kneel. Their subjects knelt before them, but Solomon kneels in humility before God, and he leads the people of Israel in corporate prayer. He's the one praying. They're joining in. And at the conclusion, the presence of God descends upon the temple in a powerful, powerful moment. We see Jesus gathering his disciples in the garden to pray. And so as we gather in our church, as we gather with fellow believers, we're following in the footsteps of those early disciples. In the book of Acts, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus with his disciples, Solomon, and many, many more. And so if we are to be people that pray without ceasing, we need to focus on having a personal prayer life, a family prayer life, and a corporate prayer life. I hope this has inspired you and encouraged you. Keep praying. As we pray, the world around us is affected. Our family is affected. Our church is affected. We are affected. The spiritual realm around us is affected. Keep praying. May God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer that is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up for this magazine on our website at americapraynow.com. In addition to our weekly podcast, We also meet in 16 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our in-person prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. Please see our websites for times and dates. Until next time, may God bless you.